The world today is a complex place. The IT series, designed by the University of Stellenbosch Business School Executive Development, with insights provided by the Institute for Futures Research, will help you navigate complex, volatile, and uncertain business environments with the innovation and insights required to achieve transformation. Join us as, with each episode of this series, we provide you with practical takeaways that are easy to absorb and relevant.
Hello, I am Jerry Mwagiru, Senior Futurist at the Institute for Futures Research at Stellenbosch Business School. And I am joined by Dr. Jakob Wolschenk, strategy expert and faculty member at the Stellenbosch University Business School and also on the executive development programs. Thank you, Jakob, for joining this conversation as part of our Leadership Foresight IT series, where we discuss insights and innovative ideas to assist organizations in transforming and maintaining excellence in their performance. In this conversation with you, we are discussing how organizations can best align and pivot their strategies and businesses in context of complexity, uncertainty, and rapid change. So, Jakob, to get us started, why is it important for organizations to develop robust long-term strategies?
Thanks, Njeri, and thank you for having me. I think it's a really interesting question, and you know, I think it's the paradox of planning in a VUCA world. We make all these plans, and 5 years on, they all have gone to waste, and the world has changed completely. And then the question is, you know, why do we plan at all? But there are also multiple examples of companies in the world that did not move with the times. If you don't plan, it's the best way to ensure that you won't exist 10 years or even 5 years from now. If we think of examples in the world, BlackBerry, you know, some, I think the younger people today might not even know who BlackBerry is anymore, because they just thought that everyone will always like the interface. Everyone was loyal to their brand, et cetera. And they didn't plan for what if the world would change. And I think if we don't plan for a changing world, we definitely are making sure that we won't exist in the future. So if we take strategy as the choices that companies make to ensure its long-term survival or long-term success, I think, you know, planning is critical, or strategizing is critical.
Thank you, Jakob, and thank you for sharing some examples of organizations that were caught up in that paradox of planning in a VUCA world. What are some of the main stumbling blocks that organizations face, especially in context of uncertainty and complexity, when they're trying to develop these long-term strategies?
I think when I work with companies, I often, you know, go through a process, and the starting point is always kind of what is happening around you, what's happening in your world. And again, back to the previous point, if BlackBerry had been aware that there's new interfaces, they could have said, well, how do we respond to that? So firstly, knowing what is happening, and it's not always just one direction. We will talk about scenario planning a bit later, but you know, knowing which directions the world could go into the future is quite important. And then tied to that is also understanding where your own competencies are. You know, in the time of Michael Porter, it was, you know, finding the position in the market that you could best defend. But then very soon they found that the position in your market changes as the rest of the market change. And then we switched to a paradigm of saying, well, let's focus on competencies. And that is, of course, very important. And as the VUCA world increased, we've found that, you know, you need to start looking at scenario planning to plan for multiple futures. But I think some of the other stumbling blocks is, of course, resistance to change. It's very difficult for companies to change. If you think of Kodak, you know, Kodak is another example of a company that they invented digital photography, and still they couldn't make that change. And it is just because how do you bring about a change in your whole your whole group of employees? I don't even know how many they were, but I would imagine in the region of 25,000 employees that were trained in dark rooms, and changing that became impossible. So culture is another reason why. If the cultural fit is not there, if people are not used to change, and they're not, you know, that's one of the biggest skills we can teach ourselves as well as our staff, is the ability to adapt and constantly looking for the next thing and not making something that should be resisted, but something that should be welcomed. And I think as a last point, you know, Clay Christensen writes about business models, and he often says that the reason the initial success of a business model is also the reason why it declines in the end. Again, going back to Kodak, they were darkroom based and they were super successful with that in film development, etc. And your business model becomes a straitjacket in the long run. The same reasons why you succeeded become the reasons that you fail.
Thanks, Yaku. Thank you for sharing about that. Very interesting to hear about some of those stumbling blocks, but also how organizations can overcome them. There is a number of frameworks and tools. The Three Horizons framework is one of them that assists in developing agile and adaptable strategy. Are there other tips, models, frameworks, approaches that you would suggest are helpful? How would you suggest organizations can best design their strategies to meet the challenges of a VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous?
I think, you know, one of the most prominent tools and something that you guys at the IFR are very familiar with would be scenario planning. I think if you think about H1, H2, and H3, H2 is often the one that gets neglected. We know in the long run, 50 years from now, where we want to be, and it's comfortable because no one will find out until 30 years from now if we were right or wrong. But with H1, of course, you know, it's kind of in the moment, and we know what we need to do next, and we know what our competitors are doing. But H2 is the one that's often the most difficult. Also, you know, a friend of mine who's a strategy consultant always says that, you know, CEOs don't like thinking about H2 because you are planning the success of your successor. So that's a really interesting point. But some of the other tools that I think, apart from scenario planning, would be tools like Blue Ocean. That instead of going linear of, you know, where's the market, where am I good at, and what does that lead to for me to innovate in, rather just jump ahead and leapfrog and find the new blue ocean, the place where no one is selling their product, and innovate into that. And there is multiple tools that you can use with that. And of course, I think execution is critical also for the long-term success of strategies. So tools, the Kaplan and Norton tools, for instance, the strategy map or the balanced scorecard, even though they are somewhat outdated in some people's views, it's always for me one of the starting points because it is such a logical thing to think about what is it, what does success mean for me in the long run, and what resources will I need, what process will I need, what shall I look like for my customers, etc. So I think those are some of the obvious ones. There are a vast array of strategy tools that one can use. But I think if we specifically think about innovating for the future, those are the ones that I think is most applicable.
Thank you, Yaku. And I especially appreciate your point that the value of the tools really lies in their execution. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and your knowledge on how to best align organizational strategy and some of the ways in which businesses can ensure they're remaining relevant for the long term. A great conversation. Thank you for joining in.
Thank you, Njeri.
We hope you enjoyed this installment of the IT series, brought to you by the University of Stellenbosch Business School Executive Development, with insights provided by the Institute for Futures Research. Stay tuned for our next episode.